Okay, good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Did they run out of handouts? They're printing some more. Okay, they're printing some more. Good morning, welcome, everybody. Nice to see people. This is, as I think I mentioned last week, the last of the Zoom Shirim. So if you're joining us on Zoom, welcome. From next week, we'd love to see you live sitting here. The recordings will, of course, be available, as always, within the few days after the Shir. But Baruch Hashem, it would be nice if things get like to normal, whatever normal means these days. And we look forward to seeing everybody here. The sponsorship for the whole academic year is Le'ilu Nishma Isbrana Bas Bendit and Zelig Ben Kalman. We're very grateful for that sponsorship. Now, we are on part four of a four-part series, which, as I've been preparing these shirim, I've realized should really be a 10-part series, because there's so much to say, but I feel I can only try your patience so much. And we have other, fields to plow, whatever the expression is. We need to get into Elul next week, whether we are ready for it or not. Elul is upon us. And therefore, of course, rabbis get very excited this Elul, because they can dust off their shirim on Shmitas Ksafim and Prosbul. And so we'll have at least one session on that next week or the week after in the run-up to Rosh Hashanah, and then we'll get some more tshuva-focused Rosh Hashanah issues. That is to come. But if you remember, in the last three parts, we... a bit further forward than I normally. Normally I see you there, Itamar. But yeah, okay, fine. The last three parts we covered the following. Part one, we looked at Zechel Churban and the issue of music in the time of the Churban. And maybe I'll just make one little postscript on that. I noticed in preparing this week's shir that Rav Chaim David Halevi from Tel Aviv in Aseil Harav, his tshuvas, he actually writes, which I didn't bring you 3 weeks ago, that one of the reasons that he feels people are more lenient on music these days is because, and he's of course a religious Zionist rabbi, because we are in Atchalta de Geula. We are already in the beginning of the Geula, and I haven't seen anyone else say that explicitly, even though he says it's probably Osa. He does say that, but nevertheless, people do what they do, and anyway, we're in the beginning of a Geula, so whatever, we looked at 3 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the issue of secular music, whether there's any Kabbalistic downside, whether there's any halachic prohibition. I'm not going through it all again. Last week, we looked at Jewish music, which is the fundamental standing of music in our tradition, in davening, in the Beis HaMikdash, in learning, all the way through Tanakh, in Tehillim, etc. Music is very central. And the last year, today, I want to look at the combination of Jewish music and non-Jewish music, specifically the issue of putting Jewish words to secular tunes, which, of course, we all know. Schlockrock made their entire career based on this exact concept, taking well-known non-Jewish secular tunes and putting Jewish words to them. Although they don't really sing in shul, I mean, maybe they do back home wherever they live, but everybody knows that you've been in shul and Kedusha can be any number of interesting combinations of songs from the past and the theatre and pop music, etc. Some people are not so into this, and we'll have a look today at how that works. I didn't bring my violin, I apologise, although I realise there's too much to get through for me to play as well, but I will sing a little bit. And if that doesn't put you off, then nothing will. Okay, fine. I want to actually talk about two discrete topics today. The first one I'm only going to cover for 10 minutes, because I want to give room to the second. The first one is really a separate issue, which is, are you ever allowed to put Torah to music at all? There's a few more source sheets coming in here, if anyone wants them. I think the Hasses might need over here. Are you ever allowed to put Torah to music? Now, there's a parallel sugya, which we looked at some time ago, which is, are you ever allowed to use Torah psukim for decorations? To put them on the wall, to put them on a talus, etc. And there we also saw, Torah is for learning. Torah is not for art. Torah is not for decoration, although there are exceptions. We're not going into it again. But in terms of music, there's an explicit Gemara, which is less, not so well known. Let's have a look at it together, number one. Tana Rabbana, says the Gemara, Hakayre posik shel shir hashirim. If somebody reads a posik in shir hashirim, the Song of Songs, va'oisa aso kemin zemeh, and they make it into a tune. That's the first example. The Hakayre posik bebeis mishkas, or somebody, maybe or and, somebody who reads a posik in a banquet, in a drinking party, beis mishdas, or maybe at a wedding. We'll see the wedding may be different. Belois manner, which is not the right time for that pasuk. It's not in its proper time. Maybe ra'a la'olam. they bring evil to the world. Okay, so we're going to go back to one, but let's look at Rashi first in number two. So Rashi deals with these two ideas. Hakari shira shirim va'osis sokim in zemes. Someone who makes shira shirim into a song. Says Rashi, shekari b'negina acheret. He makes up a different song. She'enu nikudba, which is not the trop. I mean, if you want to lay in shira hashirim, b'vakasha. But if you want to put your own tunes to shira shirim, no way. Va'osis sokim in shirim, makes it into a song. Afal pi. Shemishir Hashirim Hu, even though it's from Shir Hashirim, the Ikaro Shir, and it essentially is a song, meaning Rashi's taking the view that of all Tanakh, you would have thought that Shir Hashirim most lends itself to be put to song, because it is a song. Asur Allah Soysa Kimin Shir, you're not allowed to do it, and Rashi would learn Kal V'Chomer, every other part of Chumash, which is not a song, or Tanakh, which is not a song, Ela B'Kriyato, you have to lane it, but just don't sing it. Now, there are other Meforshim we'll pick up soon that say, actually, Shir HaShirim is not the way the Rashi understands, which the most obvious example for a song is Shir, but the least, because Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kedoshim. You took the Kodesh Kedoshim of Tanakh, you know, Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah calls Shir HaShirim the Holy of Holies, and you made that into a song? Maybe other parts of Tanakh are less critical. Okay, but Rashi doesn't learn it that way. He learns that Shir HaShirim is the most obvious candidate, but that you can't even do. You have to lay it. So that's the first example. And the second in Rashi, Hakari Posik Bebeis Mishtaris, if you read Psukim in a feast, in a drinking feast, says Rashi, Bemesiv Al Yena, when you're having basically a drinking party, Oisei Sichi Katav Bedivrei Torah, you make fun of Divrei Torah. It becomes part of the entertainment. You've made Torah into entertainment. V'kari p'sukim b'kol ram. You read p'sukim out loud. L'sachek b'hem. And you're making light, you're making fun of them, you're making jokes with them. B'nei ha-mishta, everybody's joking around with them. That's also. Im oimri b'zmano, but if you say it at the right time, al-mishta, at a feast like, kagoin hu yom tov, like it's yom tov. V'noi tel kos v'yadis, says Rashi, you want to lift a glass, make a toast to the Tanakh on Yom Tov, or at a Bris Milah, or at a Chasna, something like that. You want to say beautiful things, Psukim, to do with the day, maybe Tovel Olim. That's beautiful. And you see, Rashi is alluding to the end of the Gemara, which we're going to see now. So you saw the two basic explanations of Rashi. Let's go back into number one now and see where this Gemara goes. Start at the beginning again. Tanu Rabbanan, Hakari Posuk Shir HaShirim, Ve'Oseh Oseh Kamin Zemet. If you take a verse in Shir HaShirim and you make it into a tune, the Hakairi Posik Vebasim Starish, if you sing to make fun, Rashi said, but took him in a banquet, in a drinking party, below Bismano, at the wrong time, not the Yonsef, etc., maybe Rala Oila. Mipnei, like second line, Shehatora Chogeret Sak. The Torah, as it were, dresses itself in sack in mourning. Oh, by the way, could you turn your phones off, please, if you don't mind? I just remembered now. Miriam usually reminds me to remind you, but now. But Omedet Lifnei Kodesh Baruch. The Torah goes, as it were, to speak to God. Va'omer defanam says to God, Ribbono shel olam, asuni banayich, your children have made me kekinor. We'll see, that's a very important phrase. They've made me like a lute, like a lyre. Modern Hebrew violin. Shemenagnim boy leitzim. They're making fun, it's leitzonus. And they've made the Torah into a kinor. Amalas, an interesting response in this medrash. God says back to the Torah, Biti, my daughter, when they're eating and drinking, b'mayit askus, what do you want them to do? Which is very interesting. What's God saying to the Torah in this medrash? What's that? Number one. I'm back in the third line. Don't worry. Yes. So basically, he's saying that God says to the Torah, of course they sing psukim. That's what they do all day. They learn. So of course, when they drink, they sing psukim. So the Torah says no. Amr lefanav. The Torah says back to God, Ribbono shel olam. No, that's not right. Im balei mikrahein, if they know how to learn Tanakh. Yasku b'tayra, munevim b'ksuvim, let them learn at the Suda. Let them say divrei Torah. Ve'imbali mishnahim, if they know how to learn the oral law, yasku b'mishnah, b'halachas, b'hagadas. Let them learn Gemara, let them quote Midrashim. Why are they singing? Ve'imbali talmudu, if they're able to actually learn Gemara, yasku b'hilchas pesach b'pesach, hilchas atzeres b'atzeres, hilchas chag b'chag. There's no shortage of divrei Torah. You're making leitzonos out of Torah. So Heid Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar Mishum Rebbe Shimon ben Chananya Kala Kari Posuk Bismanah, because if someone says an appropriate posuk at the right time, Mevi Tovel Olam, that's great, brings goodness to the world. Shenamah Davar Beitoy Matov. How great is something at its right time? That's the Gemara. The difficulty is that this Gemara is not paskened anywhere in the Rambam, in the Tor, in the Shulchan Aruch. Presumably, say the Meforashim, because it's an Agadata, and we don't normally.
He doesn't posuk in the Gemara.
It's not, no, I mean...
It says Gemara.
Correct. I mean, the Gemara... No, this doesn't... Okay, maybe Rala Olam is not something that the Gemara says is okay. But it doesn't like it. But it's a gadata. So it doesn't appear anywhere in the classic Mephoroshim. It does appear in the Sefer Hasidim, though. Looking number four, Aval Oysam Ahochim Va'omrim Hamikra is Derech Leitzim. Those people who make mockery of Psukim, Vehem Befihem Kashir Shalagavim. And it's like a love song. We had this expression 2 weeks ago. Shire Agavim, sensual songs. Asida Torah, Shi Yitzak Aleim, the Torah will scream at them, Va'omerid Ribbono Shel Olam Banai Chasunikop, Hinor. And you see, therefore, that the Sefer Hasidim has, if you like, quote unquote, paskened, although the Sefer Hasidim is not a book of Psak. And we discussed this a few times. What is the status of the Sefer Hasidim? The Sefer Hasidim was written by Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid of Regensburg in the 13th century, late 12th, 13th century, and it was a book of Kabbalah. It's a book of Hasidus. Is it meant to be Psak? Is it meant to be binding? Is it meant to be on his family or on all of Klal Yisrael? So a good Shaila. But the fact that it doesn't appear in any of the classic Mephoroshim is something which is noteworthy. However, I brought you here, and again, I'm not going to spend a long time on them, because I want to really get to the second part of the Shir, but I brought you here three Psakim. I brought you here from, actually four, including Rav Moshe. I brought you the Tzitz Eliezer. I brought you the Rav Nassim Gestetner, which I'll mention in a minute. I brought you here the Rav Ben Sion Abba Shaul, the Orla Tzion, and I brought you Rav Moshe Feinstein. Again, we could have a whole shiur on this, but I don't want to because I want to focus on other things. Basically, the Tzitz Eliezer, he sets out the parameters and says, this is your Shaila. Let's look at the Shaila. It's interesting, he was asked. Number five. Top of number five in page two. Binyan imutza l'shir psuki Tanakh b'smachos kudama. Are you allowed to sing Tanakh? And this is from 1996, he writes here. The Tzitz Eliezer Waldenberg. This is the question you ask me. People do this all the time. This is the Jewish music industry. This is Mordechai Ben David, this is Avram Fried, this is the Maccabees, this, you name it. This is everybody. Are you allowed to do this? Shehari Af Bekala Rabasi, he quotes from Kala Rabasi, which brings a similar Gemara to Sanhedrin that we saw. Masvashe Asa, it's Asa, Rakashari Psuki Shira Shirim, Umikivan Laharer. When we call Markham, but Perish Rashi, says Perish Rashi says the Shir HaShirim is the most obvious candidate, the rest of Tanakh is even more of a problem, etc. And then he brings other Mephoroshim who talk about the fact that maybe it's only late Sanas. Basically, his bottom line is that it's not a problem. As long as you're not making fun of the Torah and using it inappropriately, and the Marashah, which we didn't see on the first page, says the whole problem is these gatherings themselves are Asa. You're in a drinking party and you're adding insult to injury by singing psukim. So says the Tzitz Eliezer, look, I don't think it's a problem as long as people have their kavana l'shem shamayim, they're doing it l'shem kiddush Hashem. It's not a problem, and he's very relaxed about this. We'll see, not at all relaxed about the other question we're going to get to in a minute. But says the Tzitz Eliezer, I think it's basically fine as long as it's l'shem shamayim. Rav Nosson Gestetner in the Laharois Nosson, he says here that the point is the kinor. The Gemara said you're making the Torah into the Tanakh into a kinor. What's a kinor? A kinor is a means to an end. The end is the music. The violin just produces the music. So if you turn the Torah into a means to an end, basically you want entertainment, and the Torah is your means to entertainment, that's the problem, because you've made the Torah into the means, not the end. But if the Torah is the end, and the song that you're singing is to get to that end, the music is the means and the Torah is the end, then that's okay. Same kind of idea. If it's L'shem Shamayim, it's good. The Orla Tzion, actually, if you look here, he's not happy. He says, I know people are makel, I know people do this all the time, I know there's a Jewish music industry, but he says, if you look at the underlined bit, he says, I think it is a problem. If you want to make music, Jewish music, she'enam psukim, don't use Tanakh. Don't make music out of Tanakh. Make music out of something else. Sing Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. We'll get to Yerushalayim Shel Zahav, by the way, in about half an hour. Okay? He says, I know the people that make on this. And the reason is they're makel because the essential problem is the context, is the drinking and the inappropriate context. He says, I think the music industry is not right. He says, I don't think you should be lenient. ala besudas mitzvah. If you're at a besudas mitzvah, could go besimchas chasen v'kala, then fine. But he's not happy about the music industry. Good question. I didn't bring that down. The Or Litzion, I imagine it's about 20 years ago. When did the Rav Abba Shaul pass away? I can't remember. The 90s, something like that. About 20, 30 years ago. He's not happy with the situation, but he says it's, you know, b'dieved as long as you're not making fun.
The problem is that then you open it up to inappropriate words. At least if you have words from the Tanakh,
okay, good. Right. Then you've got secular music and secular words. Okay, that's the secular music share that we had 2 weeks ago, which is Nivul Peh, etc.
Right.
I brought you the last two lines where it's actually quite useful. He says, and by the way, in case you were wondering, when you're singing Zmirot on the Shabbos table, like Sur Mishaloh, and it has Shem Hashem, should you say the word Hashem, or should you say Shem Hashem with Shem Agnus? And he says, you can say Shem Hashem. As long as you don't split it and make it into which, by the way, is Sedanites. You know, that's a problem. Okay? But if you're just saying Shem Hashem, that's okay. Interesting, because a lot of people ask that question. Should I say Shem Hashem? So that he says is fine. You could. Okay, so I don't think he's going to be happy with you repeating it, but if it's in the song, you can say it. Okay, the Mishnah Brura at the end of the day, over the page, says that he's not happy. If you look in number 9, he brings the Ma'aril, which is one of the main sources here. Kasav Likutei Ma'aril, Shalai Kedin Hu Kishimaorim B'mishter. It's not right when people sing at these drinking sessions. Odecha Ki As Anisani. Must have been that was his Hallel. You know, people are into Hallel. They know the tune. They know the words. It's not right. The Chiyah Gavin, the things that I like. The Simchat Mireus. Again, because it's just for a private party. Ki Az HaTorah Chogeret Sakva Omeret, etc., etc., etc. Ach, Bebet HaKneset, the Regalim, Mitzvah Lazam. So he brings this down, even though it's not in the Shulchan Aruch. He brings this down in the Mishnah Brura, and I brought you the Piskei Tshuvos, which is the recent sefer there, which deals with all of these issues, and says basically, as long as the Jewish music industry is L'Shem Shamayim, it's okay. Okay, so you can decide whether they're L'Shem Shamayim or not, whether they're being Ma'orah people to Dveikus, etc. I wasn't using Dveikus as a pun there. But it's fine. So I think there are grounds on which to base the Jewish music industry. But it's interesting, like I said 2 weeks ago, whereas there is really no halachic prohibition to sing a secular song, there is as long as the words are appropriate, there is a shaila whether you can sing a Torah song, which is interesting. The shaila is that way around, but it's probably fine. Okay, so that's the first part of the shir. I want to spend the rest on the second question, which is the key question, which is, can I sing Kedusha to Are You Going to Scarborough Fair? Or whatever it is. or Zmiras, or all of those issues. So let's have a look at this now. The Gemara doesn't discuss it. The Gemara doesn't debate this issue, but it comes in the Rif. The Rif starts, we'll have to work out what's the Rif talking about. We'll have to look at this carefully. The Rif starts with a pasuk from Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu says, "Haytali nachalati ka'ariyei b'ya'ar." God is complaining to Yirmiyahu that my inheritance, the Jewish people, have become like a lion in the forest. They're opposing me. They're ferocious against me. Natna alai b'kola. They have put their voice against me. They've done something wrong with their kol. What could that be? Alkein sinatia, and that's why I've rejected them. Again, I never translate the word sinat as hate. It's not God doesn't, God forbid, hate the Jewish people. I've rejected the Jewish people, but the Churban, because they raised their voice against me. What's the voice? Number 2, says the Rif in the Tshuvos, the Shailos and Tshuvos of the Rif. Number 12, this is already 11th century North Africa. Shalich Tzibur, if there is a Shalich Tzibur, Shemaranen Bepiv Shire Yishma'elim, who sings Arabic songs, umoitzi mipiv divrei nevala, and utters from his mouth words which are vulgar, coarse. Mesalkin oisam mimisharto. We take him away from his position. We sack him. Okay, he can't be the shliach tzibur anymore. Va'alav, about him, va'al kiyot tzibur, on anything just like this, nemar, it says, natna alai, b'kola arkein tzinetia. Brings the posuk in Yirmiyah. So what did this shliach tzibur do? That's the question. Oh, so they're good. So that's the question. Are they talking about a shliach tzibur who walks into shul and uses an Arabic song for the davening? Or are they just talking about a shliach tzibur who works on the side, busking in a bar, singing Arab songs? And then he comes to shul on Shabbos morning and sings Kedusha. I don't want the guy who's singing in the nightclub singing Kedusha in shul. Which of those issues is it? So it seems pretty clear that it's the second. This is not talking about a shliach tzibur who uses secular tunes in shul. We'll see in a minute other people do talk about that. But it seems the Rif isn't. Because the Radvaz, 400-500 years later, quotes the Rif, but uses the second example. Says the number 13, Le'inyan shliach tzibur shehu na'im kol. What about a shliach tzibur who has a beautiful voice? U'mezame bebeis ha'mishkas, and he sings in pubs. B'shiri agavim, love songs. B'shirim shel doifi, and nonsense songs, bad songs. Moichim b'yada, you have to criticize that. And if he doesn't want to listen to you, you sack him. Just a second. The guy works on the side singing in salubrious places. You can't be the schlitzer. But it doesn't sound like this is talking about non-Jewish tunes in shul. In fact, I brought you in the note, the Orchas Chaim actually uses the Arabic expression, the guy sings, Bashal al Arab. My Arabic is not up to anything, but Bashar al-Arab apparently means Ash'ar, meaning Shir al-Arab, Arabic Shir, Arabic poetry. He sings Arabic pop music, and that's why you have to get rid of him. The Ramah actually quotes the Halacha. The Ramah actually quotes the Halacha in number 14, and he says, Shliach Tzibur, this is in the Shulchan Aruch, Shliach Tzibur ha-menabil piv. So again, is he talking about a shliach tzibur who talks inappropriately, or is the tune the nivel pair, or shemaranani b'shiri hanachrim who sings these non-Jewish tunes? Mamachim b'yad shelo la'asos kein ve'im einu shemeya mavirim oso. Now he doesn't quote the Rif; he quotes the Kolbo, but the Kolbo is bringing down the same idea. To make matters a little bit more complicated, this line of the Ramah where he says the guy sings shirei hanachrim. There are actually two other girsa'ot, which appear in different versions of the Shulchan Aruch. One is Shirei Agavim. That's clear that he's singing love songs. That's not in shul. He's not singing love songs in shul. Okay? Or another version is Shirei Hagoyim Me'avoda Zora. We'll get to that. So again, you have to look beyond just what's printed and say, well, what are the other versions? The censor obviously got to this Shulchan Aruch, and therefore, what does the Ramah mean? Again, the Ramah probably means inappropriate songs in inappropriate places, not in shul. However, the Magen Avraham says very clearly the problem is the tune in shul. And he says, "V'shira nachrim." He's reading the Ramah. He says, "Kolayma benigun shemanagnim bo la'avodas ilim." He's using the nigun that non-Jewish people use in church, and he quotes the Sefer Chassidim.
Jingle bells.
Jingle bells. That's the Jewish version. Jingle bells. Yeah? The truth is, I don't think jingle bells goes to Kedusha. Although I did once go to a shul at the last week of December where Naritzachav and Aydisha was sung to Silent Night. Which goes actually with the music very well, but the rabbi was not happy. Not happy. It wasn't me. I wasn't the shliach tzibur.
And
I wasn't the rabbi either. But the jingle bells would be the same. So he's quoting the Sefer Chassidim. This is not the Rif. The Sefer Chassidim very clearly talks about the problem of non-Jewish melodies. Have a look in 16, 17, and 18. 16. Misha yeshlo ben katan. If you have a little child, a small child, mutl ba'arisa, and you're trying to get him to sleep. Number 16. Kedesh lo yivke, you don't want the kid to cry. Lo yiranu nulo shirim v'zmira shel goyim. Don't sing. We saw this in the Mishnah Brewery. Brought this out. Don't sing lullabies from the non-Jews. The association is that it's going to be shiri agavim type songs. V'gam lo nigunim shel Yisrael. And don't sing psukim either. That's today's. Remember from the beginning today? Don't sing psukim, which are Kodesh Baruch Hu. Meaning, both of them are wrong. You can't sing secular music, and you can't sing Tanakh to music, because that's not right. For Talmud, if you're trying to teach him, you know, to help him to remember, you're trying to get the child to remember the Torah, and not to forget it. Even though the kid's just listening, then it's muta. Why? Because that's got a Talmud Torah angle. The kid's going to remember every night, Abba sent me to sleep singing, you know, Kohelet or whatever, or Iyov, or whatever you want to sing to help your Ke'echa, to help your kid get to sleep, depending on the mood that you're in and how the kid's reacting. And then he says, Lo yelamed Adam legalach, make sure you don't teach a priest, Oisius, the how to read, I suppose it means Hebrew, the lo yinagin lefan of zemenaim, don't ever teach a priest a nice tune, pen yinagin hagalach ba'avodah zara shelo oisa nigun, because he's going to use that tune in church next week. And it'll be your fault and don't teach in the tune, which is interesting. And then he says, "V'kal shemanagmi pnei azara," and anything that they do play in church, lo yase osan nigun laKadosh Baruch Hu. Never make that tune into shul. Never use a song from the church in the shul. Never do that. Number 17, a similar idea, Sefer Chassidim, im yesh piyut sha'asa koimer, if there is a song that the non-Jewish priests made up, l'shevach avodah zorah, to praise the avodah zorah, v'nirli Yisrael shehu shevach na'eh, and the Jew thinks, wow, that's a beautiful idea, beautiful song, beautiful tune, lo yama oise b'loshen kodesh l'kodesh baruch hu. Don't convert that to, now here he's talking about words, I think, that you heard a beautiful hymn, and you translated into Hebrew to sing in shul. That, I don't think he's there talking about nigun, but he elsewhere does definitely talk about the idea of using a nigun, and that's what the Magen Avraham brought down, that you can't use a nigun from Avodah Zarah. And there are a number of people who talk about nigunim, secular nigunim, in the Rishonim and the Achronim, and they expand that not just to Avodah Zarah, but also to secular music generally. I brought you here, I would have typed it up in number 19, but I wanted you to see quite how difficult some of these old texts are to read. This is a sefer, the Sefer Arugas Aboisem, from Rashmul Archivolti, not such a well-known 16th century rab, but from Italy. And he says, see if we can read this, he says at the beginning, first line, V'anachnu ma nedaber u ma nitzdadak. What can we possibly say to justify it? Aksas chazanei doreinu. Some of the chazanim in our generation, shemanagnim hatfilos hakadoshes, who sing the holy prayers benigune shirei chol, to secular music, mehahamon, not from the church but from the pop music, from the charts, as they used to call them. Okay, umitay chadibur amakudish yipol bedatam nivul peh. And what are people going to be thinking when you hear that song? They're going to be thinking nivul peh, all the original words for the song that the guy's singing, everyone's smiling and so like, oh yeah. I remember when this song came out in the 90s, they weren't using those words then. Everyone's thinking that. The Dava Erva, they're going to be thinking of the love song as opposed to Naritzcha v'Nagdishcha. All the Navi cried out about these, va'amru, and he says, Nitna lai b'kol, this posik from Yirmiyahu. So he's not happy with any secular music which makes people think of the original words. And if you go over the page to page 5, you'll see I brought some other people there, Rav Shlomo Alami. These are not so famous. I never heard of Rav Shlomo Alami till I looked at the Shir, the Masad Binyamin as well. But I did bring you the Yosef Ometz. He's more well known, better known in the 17th century in Germany. Look at what he says, and he will pick up on an important word here. Number 20. Ein la'asod nigunim b'leil Shabbos. Ooh, Zmiris. Now we're in the Sloop John B. Kind of question. Ein la'asod nigunim b'leil Shabbos or Motzei Shabbos. People, I don't think, are so into Havdalah songs these days. We're all too busy to turn on our phones. But people sang Havdalah songs, and they, you know, till recently, and still do, I'm sure. But nigunei zimri hanochrim. Don't use non-Jewish nigunim for Zmiris. Kamoi kol mekadesh. Kol mekadesh. Interesting. Kol mekadesh is a very, very old tune. It's from the Machzor Vitri in the 11th century. So he's not happy with the tune they're singing for kol mekadesh. We'll see maybe why. Uberivois itim. I don't know that zemer, but I don't sing that. Ukiyotziv. Kol sheken shelo yasen nigunim elu bebeisa knesses. All the more so, don't do it in shul. Don't even do it at your Shabbos table. Certainly not in shul. The loikim is chachmim, not like these chachomim, too clever for their own good. Limtsolahem heter, they try and find a heter, and they say, but Oirim shekola nigunehem gnuvim heim etam. They stole all these tunes from us. Mitanu bisman shebeis hamikdash kayam. Meaning, I've seen this brought down. I don't know if you can verify it in any way. All this was Jewish music originally. The church took, like they took everything else, just like the Pope looks like the Kohen Gadol and everything. So the music they took. So it's our music, we can sing it. Not true. It says, even if you're right, it doesn't excuse it. Shehari matzinu matseva. Look at the matseva. What's the matseva? Where the Avos, Yaakov, erects a stone, a standing stone, which to worship God. He doesn't build a Beit Mizbeach always, he builds a Matseva. And that was fine. Shehaita ahuva lifnei hamakom bizman ha'avos. That was the right way to worship God back in the day. Achein al yidei sheasu ha'kananim, chokla avodah zara, because the Canaanim turned this into avodah zara, sanata HaKadosh Baruch Hu the asur. God rejected it and prohibited it, and in the Torah it's prohibited to make a matseva, to worship. Yaakov did it. Yeah, Yaakov did it, but then it became avodah zara, and now you can't do it anymore. So too, these songs, even if they did sing these songs, then you can't sing them anymore, because now they are, they've been used for avodah zara. And I brought you the Maaseh Rokeach, talks about this. I'll skip this source because you'll see the Eliezer brings a lot of these ideas in. But he says basically, again, people are focusing on the original tune. They're focusing, they're saying, oh yeah, Erev Shel Shoshanim, I remember when that came out. And they're, so really, they're not thinking about Kedusha anymore. And he says, it's distracting everybody's Kavana. And at the end, he ends 21, Tefillah Belo Kavana, Kaguf Belo Neshama. Whatever you do in shul that distracts people's kavana is going to be disastrous. Now, you may argue, well, who even has kavana anymore anyway? On the contrary, people are more likely to listen to Kedusha if you sing, if they, oh, I know that song. So, okay, that's a good question. And there are different approaches in the Rishonim and Achronim as to whether we're optimistic or pessimistic about people's abilities. Rambam is always very optimistic. You know, he thinks people can have kavana. Like the original halacha is, if you've been on a long journey, you shouldn't daven for 2 or 3 days because you can't get your head straight in davening. You've been on a long journey, and the Rambam paskens that halacha, and the Ashkenazi Rishonim say forget about it. We never have kavana anyway when we daven. What's it going to help for 2 or 3 days? You're not going to have any. So you may as well daven. Same idea of saying the Shema on the wedding night. You think you have kavana on a regular, and I just say it. So there are more pessimistic, more optimistic approaches, but he's not happy. But the pièce de résistance is the Tzitz Eliezer. The Tzitz Eliezer, who was laid back and relaxed about Jewish music, meaning taking Torah and making songs of it in a good context, not for fun, but not for to make fun rather. Here he is apoplectic about the idea of singing these songs in shul, nigunim in shul. Look what he says. In mutzala nagin kitzit tfila ubakoshes benigune agavim. Are you allowed to use these love songs? And again, a lot of the assumptions are that most of the secular music you're going to use is shire agavim. That's a good question. You know, I hear a love song, you know, I mentioned Erev Shel Shoshanim, which people use a lot in Kedusha. It was originally a love song. If you look at the original words, they're not indecent, but it's a love song. As opposed to We All Live in a Yellow Submarine is not a love song. That would fall into the Rambam's definition, unless there's a subtext, which I, you know, if everybody's in psychedelic mode, what is the Yellow Submarine? It could be, but the Rambam said Shtuyot songs are also no good, remember, from 2 weeks ago, because that's just as bad, almost. But he says as follows, Hinei ledati leis deim tzarech boshesh. There is no require, you can't even delay for a second in denouncing this. Ki to'eva hi, it is a disgusting thing. L'halbish divrei kedusha b'malbushei tzoyim, to dress up kedusha in filthy clothing. Ke'ele shereach shel znut. This music has the scent of immorality. Nodef mehem, wafting off them. Umetamim, umetamtimim. Esaguf, the Tzitz Eliezer is usually very moderate in the way he speaks. He doesn't speak like this normally. They make impure your body, the etanefesh and the soul. V'tzei tamei yom aleim, say to them, get out, you tumah thing. Shalol hachnisam b'makoymas hakadosh shel beis hakneses mikdashei ma'at shel ha'umah. How can you bring this into shul? And the Shiloh was a Baal Tshuva who's saying, yeah, but I find secular church music inspiring. He says, I don't believe I'm hearing this. Says the second vav here in the middle of 22. I can hear these things coming out of a Bala Tshuva's mouth. To say that church music that they use for worship, in their own churches, that these are moving songs that will move you. They'll bring you to Avas Hashem and Yichud Hashem. He talks about the Trinity in a minute. Like, what are you thinking about? When the Rambam and all our Gedolim, where everybody paskens that Christianity is about it. Not everybody, correct. The Rambam, and he's saying, and our Gedolim, there is a discussion about that. The Meiri and others, not quite the same, but not for now. That's even worse than the Arabs. At least the Arabs, they may be love songs, but they're not Avodah Zarah. That you can never accuse the Arabs of is Avodah Zarah. And to tell me that I should listen to their music, to glorify Shul, lo you mad, ki supara, I can't even believe I'm hearing this. Not happy. He's not happy.
Now, in the Ashkenazi world, of course, a lot of the chasanut we have today is based on the 9th century.
True, a lot of it was composed in the style of. Meaning, if you're thinking of, now that, okay, we've got a few willing participants. I don't think that was originally a church tune. That was a tune, I think, that was created in the style of. So that may be okay. But he's not happy at all. He says, no way at all, it's not happening. Okay, but he's not the only opinion. For starters, the Bach. By the way, this is the only shir I've ever given where I'm able to reference the Bach, as in Rav Yol Sirkus on the tour, and also Lahavdil Bach Johann Sebastian, which we'll see. That hasn't happened before, and I'm not sure when it'll happen next. So make the most of it, because it's today. Okay? Says the Bach, says number 23, Masha Mazamrim Babate Knesias Binigunim Shemazamrim Bahem Babes Tivilata. He's explicit. He's talking about using church music in shul. The problem is the specific songs which are played for idolatry. That's now become an Avodah Zarah thing. Like Matseva. Even if it's beautiful music, it's Matseva. If they're not specifically for Avodah Zarah, I'm not sure it's Osa. I think he said it's not us. And by the way, the Mishnah Brura rules like the Bach. When the Mishnah Brura quotes the Magen Avraham that says no Avodah Zarah in Shul, the Mishnah Brura quotes this Bach and says Dafka tunes for Avodah Zarah. Okay, so that doesn't mean that they would be happy with every love song and every secular song, but the main issue is Avodah Zarah. Now, how far does Avodah Zarah go? Obviously, if you wanted to put Foire's Requiem or Mozart's Requiem to Jewish music, you could make an argument that those were written specifically for Avodah Zarah, because even though they're incredibly inspiring music. But, Silent Night, is that a tune which was specifically for Avodah Zarah? I don't know. And if it's Avodah Zarah at all, it's the Shtuyot. Maybe Silent Night is. Maybe I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas isn't. But again, I'm not saying they will be happy with it, but he's saying it's not mamish the same level of Issa. However, I want to bring you the main source I want to show you now before we start getting into a couple of other things is Rav Avadya Yosef. Rav Avadya has a long, long tshuva on this, which I'm going to pick out number 6. Some of this will make is hair-raising stuff. Page 6, I should say, number 25. You'll see, let's take you on a tour through a little bit of Rav Avadya. Rav Avadya's tshuvas are very lengthy. You know, when I bring you 3 paragraphs, the original is like 30, 40 pages, so I try to narrow it down. But let's have a look. Number 25. He says, first of all, Nishalti im mutar lishliach tzibur laharkiv mangina chilonit. I was asked if you can use secular tunes, shashiri agavim, love songs, al-kaddish, or kedusha, or shakite tefillah, or any of the bars of the tefillah, kagoy nishmas kol chai. Or tzarich lahavdil ben hakodesh ben hacholah. Can you have to make a separation? He says, Nira, she'ein issa ela davka ba'osim nigunim hayuachid avodah zarah. So first of all, avodah zarah, forget about it. Don't use that. Ma'achas shehu chok kavur la'avodah zarah. Aval im einam nigunim yuchadim la'avodah zarah, Nira, she'ein b'za issa. A bit like the Bach. I'm not sure it's osir if it's not avodah zarah. Ulfi zeh mangina miyuchedet l'shiri agavim l'chayre yesh laima she'osa. You see, you could argue that that's also osa. Shiri agavim, love song nigunim. Ulahalchim aleh divrei kedusha. Aval nira she'yesh l'chalek. But there is a big difference, he says. But she says ben ha'isa shel avodah zarah d'cham etuva l'shar dvar. So the first thing he wants to get clear is avodah zarah, no, don't use church music. Shiri Agavim, I don't like it, but he's now going to tell you that I can tell you people that have done this. Number 26. We call Markham. Ein davar chamur kol kach. It's not actually that strict, the Shiriyah Gavim, the love song melodies. Umutza lahoifcha lebeis ha-gneset lebeis ha-medrash. I think you can actually maybe convert them to shul. V'uadin lemanginat Shiriyah Gavim, sheyesh lama shimutza lezamer, but bedivrei kedusha. I think it may be okay. And he quotes here, he's going to quote the Chida in a minute, but he gives a very important line. V'kal shegein mangina ba'alma she'ein bo mamashut. Certainly a melody which doesn't, a melody is not tameh. A melody is a melody. To just choose to change the melody to a Kodesh subject, panim chadashos ba'u lekan. And I think that's the key line for the rest of this year. Once it's got to the stage of panim chadashos means this is a completely new thing. Meaning, I think you could argue that as long as people hear the tune and are in their minds singing the Broadway version, that's not panim chadashos. Maybe, I don't know if he's saying exactly that, but at the point at which people, this just becomes the tune that people sing for Adon Olam, and only 3 people out of 100 even realize that this was ever, you know, Sham El Sheikh, which is a famous Adon Olam song, then at that point, Panim Chadashos Ba'u Lekan, they assume, I don't know, it's a Kalbach song, I don't know. And then it's fine, he says. Ve'ein shum issa b'davar she'aslich sava oisiz zod mitor kavana tahara, as long as shlich sava has got good kavanas, he's a good solid guy. Ulishvach lezemer kodesh baruch hu aboichem b'shiri zima. Fine, and then he goes on. V'zayis ha'itali l'siba goremid l'chaber roiv shiri al pnei nigunei yishmelem. And this is our minhag. We choose Arab music for so many of our songs. She'hem magbim kolam b'shiratam u'nimatam yotei mizulatam. The Arabs are great at music, he says. I've seen real chachamim, which do complain. That these people who compose holy music are non-Jewish melodies. I see people complain. The ain hadin imam, but they're not right. They're not right. You can use these melodies. Ki ain b'kach klum. There's no problem. He's quoting the Chida there. Ulefize gam kavanas haRama. He thinks that's what the Rama means as well. When he says you can't have Shiri Nachrim, he means music which is inappropriate, etc. But other music, he says, it should be fine. Look at the last paragraph. V'hinei noida shekama migo'ine Yisrael kedoshim asher be'eretz heima. Many of the greats, the greatest of the greats of the Gedolim, chibru shiris b'tishbachos la'ashem yisbaruch l'chein l'chan menginot shel Shiri Agav. They used love song melodies for Kedusha. I can tell you, it happens. Beloshen and Nofel Aloshen, and they use language which falls on language, meaning it's like allusions, and they use the tune, and the words even rhyme a little bit. Again, this reminds me a little bit of Schlockrock, you know, where Schlockrock played the tunes. The point is that they used words that reminded you of the original tune, but they've used Jewish words. Interesting. I don't think he's talking about Schlockrock. He says he feels that even in Shul, I mean, Schlockrock don't sing in Shul. So you could argue that, you know, that's just stam entertainment. He says even in Shul he thinks it's okay. Ukimat kol ha-shirim shel edut ha-mizrach. If you think about it, almost every one of our tunes, says Rav Avadia, in the Sfaradi Kehillah, Hanemarayim b'ni'ima b'hizdam nuyot, shel smachos v'sudas mitzvah, everything we sing at Simchas and Sudas mitzvahs, kulam chubru b'lachan shel shirei agavim. They're all based on love songs. All the music, everyone assumes it's Yiddish music, it's all based on Arab love songs. Al yidei paitanim u'mashorim kadoshim v'toyrim. And it's rearranged by holy people to Jewish words, but it's all original melodies. And then he gives a beautiful pun. V'al'aravim betocha talinu kinoraseinu. Meaning the original Pasuk in Tehillim, that we hung our harps on the willows. We hung our harps on the Aravim. We hung our harps on the Arabs. The ain poitze pomitzav says, and no one even bats an eyelid. I mean, the Sitzel Yezer does, but no one in the Sephardi world does. All these beautiful, frum, they sing in the Mizrahi, Nusach, it's all, a lot of it's love songs, if you know where it comes from. By the way, Rav Avadia knew his music. He was well known to listen to Umkultum and recordings, who was an Egyptian woman singer. It's an acquired taste, in my opinion, because I'm not big on Egyptian music, but nevertheless, Rav Avadia knew music. Al-Kadish, Kedusha, Shaketi Tvila, Benoim, Siach, Safri, Kodesh, etc. And then in the last paragraph, in 27, he gives you the something that will be remarkable. He quotes from Yisrael Moshe Chazan, who is a 19th century Italian and Turkish Rav, He wrote Tshuva's called the Krach Shel Romi. Look at what he says, number 27. I've seen in the Tshuvas of Rav Chazan, Bashar and Tshuvas Krach Shel Romi, this is Rav Avadya quoting, Shehid Begadlo, he gives it to Eidus, Shaminog Pasha Bechol Eretz Yisrael, Va'arsos Arav, and all the Arab lands and Israel in that time, Bechol Batekneser, Shemanagdim Tfilo, Bedivrei Kedusha, Shiri Yishmael, they all used Arab melodies, Sherubam Shiri Agavim, almost all of them are love songs. Most of them are love songs. Nobody even questioned this. Because the content is good. And I don't care even if when we play that tune, you remember the original Arab words. Which are like low-level words for Shiri Agavim. As long as it's not indecent. Shiri Agavim are not usually indecent. I don't care if you remember the original. Umeid Ani, and Rav Chazan says here, I give personal testimony. I like Shamay Varis. I bring Shamay Varis. Shebe Yosi Beir Gedoyla. I was in Rome, he says. Shel Chachamim Vashel Sofrim Smirna. Sorry, he was in Smyrna. I was in Turkey. Reisi Me Gedoyle Chachamim Shehayu Gamke Meshorim Gedoylem. I saw the great Chachamim who also were musicians. Api Chachmas HaMuzika. They were up on music. Uberosham Harav. He names names. Harav Amufla, Rav Avram, Akoin Arish. They used to hide behind the curtains in the cathedrals to listen to the church service on their on Easter, Christmas, whatever it was. They wanted to learn the tunes, specific tunes, happy musica, lahat imam, litzfilas yamim narayim. And they'd adapt the church music for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's such a thing. Because that, then you really need to be moved. And who got the songs? They got the songs. They used to make fantastic music in shul on this. You can see from this very clearly, says Rav Avadya, the tune is not relevant. The words are the key. Because if you didn't use secular music, where are we going to get music from? You know, you're going to make up your own. Everything is what's the word? My mind's gone blank. Everything is derivative. Everything is derivative. We'll see in a minute from something else. We don't know what David HaMelech played. Shiri HaLevim. We don't know what the Levim played. Al Duchan. Because of Eichna Shir Eshir Hashem Al Admas Necha. How can we sing God's song in a strange land? We have to do the best we can. Wherever the Jews went, they picked up the local songs. Be'eretz Yisrael, Uber Atzas Arav, Kol Niguni Hatzfilis Vagadeshim Vakadeshus Kadashus Kukulam Alpi Niguni Aravim. In the Middle East, it was Arab music. Be'Turkia, Koiles Turkius. In Turkey, it was Turkish music. Be'Edom, in Europe, Koiles Adomius. It was European music. How can you contradict what's right in front of your face? Just do your research, you'll see where all the tunes come from, and therefore he says, yeah, Rav Avadya is very clearly not anything like as concerned as the Tzitz Eliezer, and basically says that I don't really care where the music came from, if it's good music, it's good music. However, I will go back to the point that he says, there has to be panim chadashos. If people are still smirking and smiling at the music and distract, maybe, I'm not sure that's such a big mitzvah. But once you're ready, who knows where the music came from? You know, within the 13th, 15th, 18th centuries, then it's he says it's not a problem. Now, I wanted just to spend the last 15 minutes of the shiur giving you some interesting examples. There is a concept in Chassidus, anyway, to makdish nigun. You make the tune holy by putting it to Jewish words. And I've brought you six or seven interesting examples. Chabad, of course, are masters at this. I brought you two examples here, and I brought you quite a lot of links here. You can go on later and do some musical homework. Napoleon's March, the Alter Rebbe, even though he was very opposed to Napoleon, and he backed the Tsar, which was not an easy choice to make, by the way, in the late 18th century, but he backed the Tsar, but when he heard the March of Napoleon, he said, wow, that's what you call a niggun, that's a great victory march, and the Lubavitchers sing this, and I brought you a clip of them singing Napoleon's March. I don't remember the niggun, I listened to it a few times, it wasn't that memorable to me, but whatever, I'm not a Chabadnik, maybe it doesn't resonate with my, you know it. Okay, so you can go there, they sing the niggun, of Napoleon's march. One thing which I did recognize is, and I brought you a link for this too, Ha'aderes Ve'emunah. Ha'aderes Ve'emunah, which is a very holy song, comes from the Heichalot literature. Where, you know, we say it on Yomim Narayim, it's in Nusach Sfarad, it's on Shabbos morning, but the Ashkenazim only sing it on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So they put it to the Marseillaise. And you've got la na 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 na. Okay, so the Chabadnikim claim, actually I brought you a link for the whole story, that after the Alter Rebbe took the Marseillaise, or maybe it was a more recent Rebbe, the French actually changed the Marseillaise. They changed the actual music, and they bring that as like a min hashamayim, that it's like our music now. Well, in 1981, they changed it back to the original. So the Marseillaise are now playing the same thing as the Chabadnikim. But, you know, where did the Marseillaise even come from? That's an interesting question. For those who are into Mozart, I brought you a quote in number 4 from Mozart's 25th piano concerto in the first movement, which goes da bum 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 bum. Okay, so maybe, you know, everyone gets everything from everyone, but the Lubavitchers are very good at that. Now, Maltzur. Everybody knows that Maltzur, if you think about it, sounds like a church song. The way we sing it. Okay, so I brought you here. It's actually from an old German folk song. So weiß ich eins, dass mich erfreut. Now, German I can pronounce. We'll get in a minute to Hungarian. Forget it. But that was originally a secular song. Nice, happy song. Das Blumlein auf Breiter Heide, whatever. And it's in there in the 1400s, and the German Jews apparently knew it even in the 1400s. Such a popular melody was that Martin Luther, Lahavdil, Aleph Avdolas, took the song and made it into one of his favorite German chorales. And I brought the music here. If you can read music, this is old musical notation. It says clearly that dum bum 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 bum. Okay, it changes a little bit after that. Dum 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 dum. It appears as a Lutheran hymn. And Bach, Johann Sebastian, actually adapts it in hymns, ancient and modern. If you look over the page to page 8, you'll see, if you can read the music, a beautiful adaptation by Bach of what is absolutely Maltzur. Bum 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 bum. A little bit different at the end. And I brought you here that the first Jewish form of the tune is only in the 1800s. Set it to the poem On Jordan's Banks in Byron's Hebrew Melodies, if that means anything to you. And then I brought a line here which actually solves something that I've been thinking about for years. It says here, it was modified to the form now favored by British Jews by Julius Mombach, to whom is due the modulation to the dominance in the repetition of the first strain. Now, that's very fancy way of saying that the Americans and the Brits don't sing Maltzur the same way. And I've been wondering for years why that is, because the Americans just repeat the melody twice. Bum 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 dum 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 bum. And same thing again, dum 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 dum. But the British don't do that. The second time round they go dum bum 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 na 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 na. And that, if you want to know, is a modulation to the dominance in the repetition of the first string. And I still can't sing it the American way. And the Israeli communities have just adopted the American nigun. I don't think they had one of their own. There are other nigunim. There's actually a very beautiful Baroque Italian nigun for Maltzur, which is a very beautiful arrangement, which I don't know if that was originally non-Jewish music as well. So that's Maltzur. Can you sing Maltzur? For sure, Panim Chadashos Ba'alukan. Nobody is thinking of Martin Luther. Nobody is thinking of Johann Sebastian when they're singing Maltzur. They're thinking about the Yavanim and they're thinking about the Chashmonaim. Except for the people in this year who are now thinking about all those other things. Karibon. Karibon is a beautiful niggun composed by Rav Yisrael Najara in Sfat in the 16th century. And if you see here, it appears at the start of the poem, this is the original prince, he gives instructions telling you how to sing it. And over the words, Karibon Olam V'Almaya, is written the words, Lachan, and it goes to the tune of, Ye Rabbi Shalim Sha'ilma. I don't know if I'm saying that right, okay? But if you know how to sing that tune in Arabic, then that's the tune he wants you to sing to Karibon Olam. So he brings you instructions, sing it to the tune of. Otherwise, you know, what people are going to sing? He's written a beautiful poem. They didn't really have music notation in the same way that we do today. So he says, if you know this Arab song, then you'll know how to sing Karibon. And he does that for many others as well. Tzur Mishelo. This is interesting. A beautiful Ladino love song called La Rose in Florence. You see the words, the rose is blooming in the month of May, my soul is clouded, distressed by love. Again, most love songs are sad, not happy. And the music is very straightforward. La rosa in Florence, el mes de mai. Okay, that's Sur Michelon, no? That's Sur Michelon. From a Ladino love song. Okay. No one knows it comes from the love song, but it apparently does. And therefore, that's I think, a very good example of where one of these tunes comes from. Chayiv Inish Liver Sumei, which is everyone already sings when they're a little bit inebriated, I think. Chayiv Inish Liver Sumei, the Purim Nigun, is either a Ukrainian folk song, and I don't know how to pronounce this, I'm sorry, or a Romanian folk song, which looks a little bit more pronounceable, Dama Mama Dapa Guri, although please, I apologize to the Romanians listening as to what I've done with the language. And I'm also a little bit concerned that I don't know what the words mean, and there may be people who do speak Romanian thinking, I can't believe you just read that. But I don't know what the words mean, and I didn't look it up. But it's the music is very clear. This is from the Ukrainian folk song, and he goes dun 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 da da dun dun da da dun dun da da dun dum dun 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 dun. And I brought you two links, one for the Ukrainian folk song, which I think is a rather nice arrangement, and one from the Romanian folk song, which starts with 50 seconds of Romanian birds and cows. Something to add to your Purim Suda, maybe. Okay, Kol Mekadesh. We saw the Yosef Ometz saying, I can't accept what people are doing with Kol Mekadesh. Now, Kol Mekadesh is a very, very old song. It's a very old piyud, rather, written in the Machzavitri in the 1100s. But this is a piece of research, and again, I can't guarantee how accurate it is, from the Hebrew U. I assume that they know what they're talking about on the Music Research Center. And they see in the last paragraph here, the melody of Kol Mekadesh appears in 17th century Catholic hymn books from Hildesheim, Cologne, Würzburg, Mainz, and Prague, set to the hymn, "Der Himmel jetzt frohlocken soll." Now, I couldn't find anywhere the music, but I assume that they're using the tune na 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 na, which actually fits perfectly to "Der Himmel jetzt frohlocken soll." So I don't know. To me, that sounds like a very Jewish tune. Na 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 na. But maybe it was originally something else. Interesting. You can go and research that on your own. Moving from Shul and Zmiris into more popular music, I think very well known is Mordechai Ben David's release of Yidden, which when I was a young man, was absolutely required at every wedding I went to, that everybody had to do the dance. But I don't think I've seen it for the last 15 years. Maybe they do. Yeah, you have to book the right band. You see, you know, you have to get what's his name? The name, forget the name. The band, Menachem. What's his name?
Oh, Menachem
was the band. Menachem. I can't remember, whatever. You have to get Menachem to play, and then he'll play Yidden. But Mordechai Ben David, I brought you a great clip from 1986 where he launched the song on some American TV Chabad kind of extravaganza. But of course, it comes from the Eurovision Song Contest in 1979, which was the German entry, which was Genghis Khan. It's the same music. Now, he may well have done a deal with them to use the music. And it sounds much better the way he sings it than the way they sung it. But of course, nobody remembers.
They were very well dressed.
They were very well dressed. Yeah, he looks more traditional. People don't remember that entry, because of 1979. Who won the Eurovision Song Contest? Israel with Hallelujah. So then who thinks about the Germans when, you know, they remember 2 years in a row Israel won the Eurovision Song Contest? Okay, fine. Then there's, but of course, again, how's the music? Na 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 na. But of course, that's also derivative. I don't think the Genghis Khan people got it. It's obvious, if anybody remembers Dusty Springfield, they'll still be singing a different song, but it's the same song basically at the beginning. Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. Very interesting. Who could forget the iconic tune of Yerushalayim Shel Zahav? But actually, there is a traditional Basque melody called, I can't pronounce it, Pelo Josepi, or something like that, which goes na 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 na. So, okay, so he came, apparently, this fellow, this Basque singer. He visited Israel in 1962 and performed to a group that included Naomi Shemer. And then later on, she composed Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. Now, she apparently felt terribly guilty about it, and at one point said to him, look, she's really sorry if she plagiarized it. But actually, he said, he was very gracious and said, no, it's fine, you know, I'm glad it helped. And it did help. You know, Yerushalayim Shel Zahav became iconic. Although, if you don't mind me getting a bit musical, she made one major difference, which is what you might in music, I think, call a surprise cadence, which is the original music is in, well, this is written in D minor, which goes na 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 na, because that's D minor, and she changed it into D major. Na 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 na, which is actually, you're so used to the tune that you don't realize how unusual and surprising that is, and I assume that she wanted to do that in order to introduce a note of hope into what was actually a very sad song, because it was written in the run-up to the Six-Day War when they thought everything was going to go terribly wrong. So I assume that she changed the F to an F-sharp to make that work. Okay, whatever. Hatikvah, of course, is well-known over... I'm not saying Hatikvah is Kodesh, but Hatikvah is clearly a very, very old melody. It's not from Smetna. Smetna got it from somewhere else. Okay, everyone quotes Smetna, but Smetna got it from something called La Mantovana, which was a Mantuan tune, and I brought you the music here, which is identical. Na 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 na. And apparently it was a melody that was used across the centuries, and I put here gained a wide popularity in Renaissance Europe, being recorded as the Flemish Exact Cecilia Common, the Polish Pod Krakowem, the Romanian Carol Carol Boy, and the Scottish, My Mistress is Pretty. I can pronounce that one. And the Ukrainian, Katerina Kucherezha. I don't know. The original text was apparently Fugi, 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 da questo cielo, which I can only say is obviously been improved by Kol Odbalevav Pnima, although I might be pronouncing that wrong as well. And just to end with something more Kodesh than Fugi, 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 I wanted to bring you just at the end, which you should read in your own time, Rav Yaakov Hillel. Rav Yaakov Hillel is very unhappy. He's a mekubel, he's a poisek, very unhappy with this using non-Jewish melodies, even though Rav Avadya we saw was quite open. He said, look, first of all, I'm not sure how many of these melodies were originally non-Jewish. Maybe yes, maybe no. But he says, the only people who can do this to Magdash and Nigun are Gedolei Yisrael. Gedolei Yisrael can take a Nigun from Napoleon and turn it into something which is Kodesh. But you and I can't take our playlist and turn it into, I assume he was not a schlock rock fan, and turn it into other things. And he has a very reasoned, thought-through argument there where he says he's not happy about the Jew or the Jewish bands play, but at the end of the day, most people don't recognize the tune as an originally non-Jewish, which is the same idea of Panim Chadoshes Ba'ol Kan. Okay, so that gives us, I think, some... And this is the tip of the iceberg. You could go on for hours and hours of tunes, where they came from and how they were researched, but hopefully that gave you a little bit of insight. Next week we come down from the world of music to other worlds, which are no less interesting, but very different in topic. So have a great week. Wish you a Chodesh Tov, and see you next week, please God.